Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, for a second hour here of Sports Daily. We're glad to be with you on this Friday, TGIF. Stay cool out there, everybody. We're rocking and rolling with you, getting you ready for round two of the FedEx St. Jude Championship. We will connect with the golf guy, Eric Johnson, here momentarily. He's trying to find a spot away from the chaos so that we can hear him out there in Memphis is where they are. TPC Southwind is where the tournament's being played. We've got Sam Stevens, Wichita's own, out there trying to make some noise in golf's postseason. We'll continue to get you ready for the Royals beginning this weekend series at Minnesota. We'll continue to look around the NFL and the preseason action happening. What's of interest for us tonight on the slate? The Chiefs, of course, get things going tomorrow, and we'll have that as well. Tommy, by the way, Chiefs preseason football, as all Chiefs football, will be available for you over on KNSS. So make sure you tune in for that tomorrow. Pre-game coverage begins at 6 o'clock. And be ready for that. So it's all what's coming up for you on tap today, which is brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring many free homemade root beer floats with any kids' meal purchase. That goes through today. A limited supply of WBC keepsake mini mugs will be given out, so hurry in today. WBC pizza and root beer made here. Here we go, Tommy.
Yeah, you ready? I've got a cool weekend. Yeah, I've got a good quick golf story as we are attempting to connect with Eric Johnson. Yesterday out at Rolling Hills Country Club, the Heritage Classic, which is part of the Onica Tour, that's the one step down from the LPGA Tour. They had their media day press conference announcing the Heritage Classic this year, which will be next month in September out at Rolling Hills Country Club. A lot of people don't know Rolling Hills Country Club is the birthplace of the LPGA Tour. That's where the LPGA Tour was founded, was right here in Wichita, Kansas. And so great press conference. They announced that Annika Sorenstam herself will be at the final round of the Heritage Classic next month to partake in the festivities, to greet the players, to hand the trophy to the winner, all of that. So that's pretty exciting stuff. They announced that yesterday, and there's a really rich tradition of women's golf that originates right here in Wichita.
Yeah, it's a tournament coming through here is so cool. It's just an opportunity, again, to boast what Wichita brings. Now, how is Rolling Hills? Rolling Hills is not one that I have had the good fortune to get out to. I will for this tournament in about a month from now. But tell me about Rolling Hills.
I love it. It's a fun course. I don't get to play it very often. In fact, I think yesterday was the first time I actually played a round. I played in scrambles out there, but I don't know if I've ever been able to play like my own ball and play a full round out there until yesterday. It's a lot of fun. It's challenging in some areas. It's pretty. There are some really nice layouts of holes out there. I enjoy it a lot, and it's a great place to I think to host this event, obviously, for all the LPGA Tour connections. But they've grown that tournament year over year. This is going to be year number 4 of the Heritage Classic. And I know that I was talking to Jay Delling, our friend and friend of the show, who is running the media for this tournament. He does the Wichita Open as well. And talking about the hospitality that they're bringing in, the grandstands, the chalets, like all of that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and they're growing it year after year. So excited for that.
Yeah, look, it's the equivalent of the Wichita Open on the women's side, which is really cool. And one quick programming note, speaking of golf, we will be live at Crestview Country Club, our great friends. Monday morning, we'll be doing the show there live before the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament, which we're happy to be a part of. So we'll see you live from Crestview on Monday. All right, now let's bring in Eric Johnson here. Eric joins us from Memphis at the St. Jude Championship. Is that right, Eric? You're out there, aren't you?
I think we've got him. Eric, do we have you here?
I'm not sure
he can hear us.
Looks frozen. Why don't we have Max just give Eric?
We can do that.
We'll do it that way, and then we'll know we'll have a little bit better connection there. So we'll work on that for you. We'll check in from the St. Jude. Sam Stevens shot one over yesterday in the opener. That right now has him tied for 48th. Now, he has a later tee time today. Doesn't tee off till, I believe it's 11:40. I think that's our time zone that I'm looking at here. So he'll be in the afternoon group. Not a lot of golfers. They move pretty quick through these tournaments now in the FedEx Cup playoff. We've got that, and I think we have Eric now. All right, let's try this again. Eric, can you hear us?
Yeah, how are you guys? Can you hear me?
We got you.
Okay, so let's check in from Memphis here. You're out there. FedEx St. Jude Championship. How'd Sam look yesterday, and what do you expect from him the rest of the way here?
Well, I got to be honest, I didn't get to see him yesterday. We were at the Danny Thomas St. Jude Celebrity Pro-Am.
Got it.
But we will be out there bright and early this morning after a little tour of the hospital.
Yeah, definitely the competition level is high in this. Obviously, you've got the top 70 golfers in the world that are competing as they're, you know, getting ready to cut down that field for next week. And then once we get into the tour championship and all of that, Sam seems to be in a position, at least right now, Eric, where, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to have a phenomenal finish to be able to move on to the next round, but knowing where he's at in the rankings and all of that, what do you expect from him? I know you didn't get a chance to see him yesterday, but what do you expect from him today and moving forward?
I expect the typical Sam, like pressure's on, we're going to go low today, make a move. You know, it's Wichita weather here. It's muggy. It's hot. It's extremely steamy. So gross. I've figured out why Lucas Glover sweat through his pants last year.
Gross. Tell me then, on a tournament like this, when there's no cut, I assume they play a little faster in smaller groups or whatever. It's like the weekend now, but is that advantageous to a guy like Sam? It seems like it would be, to give him all four rounds, because he can fire off those low rounds at any point.
Yeah, I think since, you know, he got the second place, he hadn't been really freed up. I would assume that knowing today that, like, there is no cut, I got three more days, you got to start firing at pins. We were watching yesterday, obviously, on the app, and it was just like, just kind of nonchalantly just going about it and not really firing at it. So when I saw Akshay shoot 8, I thought, okay, well, that guy, I mean, he's always fired at pins, so it's gettable. So I'm hoping to see that today. It'll be exciting. I think the guys that kind of maybe just sat back and thought, well, it's not as gettable, figured out the early guys probably were like, okay, it is gettable, and now we got to make a move tomorrow afternoon. So
yeah,
I'm hoping for a really exciting day out here.
Yeah, as you mentioned,
these guys that went early yesterday.
As you mentioned, Eric, I mean, the course is gettable. You've got Akshay Bhatia in first place right now. He went 8 under par with a 62 yesterday. Tommy Fleetwood right behind him at 7 under. Harry Hall and Justin Rose at 6 under to start round number 2. So the course is gettable out there. But here's the interesting thing, Eric. Like, there are guys that are lurking behind the leaders that, you know, and one guy in particular, Scottie Scheffler, is always there. He's 3 under par. He tees off in about, an hour and a half or so. And so he's part of the early round today. And he's a guy that he's only a few strokes back and can certainly make a move at any time. That's just kind of what Scottie Scheffler does.
Right. I mean, the thing is out here is it's, you know, it's bright and early to them. You know, it's 8:10, but it's already going to be the same temp as it's going to be this afternoon. So it's an even playing field. So, I mean, these guys just have to go get it. I mean, I haven't looked at the leaderboard this morning to see how many guys inside the top 50 and where they're positioned. Are they just here because they have to be here? Kind of like Rory's. Like, there's a big buzz around here why Rory's not here.
Right,
you know? St. Jude's paid him a lot of money the last couple of years, or FedEx has. And this is their title event, and he's not here. So I hope, you know, I think those top 30 guys, for sure, you know, they want to win. So I don't see why they wouldn't just go let it let it go today and see what happens.
As of right now, by the way, as of right now, so Sam Stevens obviously started at 28. As of now, he's projected at 37. So he's still in that top 50. But he's going to need to probably go lower than a plus 171 like he did yesterday.
Correct.
There's no question. Eric, you've got your Swing 365 shirt on. I was in there the other night working on my game. Still probably not going to make the cut at the St. Jude, but we're getting there. And we while we've got you here, we're very excited to be able to do a giveaway to Swing 365. If you want to win a week at Swing 365, which is your own private golf simulator, all you got to do right now is text the keyword swing to 203-357-20357. The keyword is swing 20357. Eric, thanks for making that available for the listeners.
Yeah, you bet. And if you want to check it out, it's 365wichita.golf if you want any more information on what the memberships are and what it looks like.
Best way to get in there is to win that contest. Eric, enjoy Memphis this weekend.
Yep.
We'll talk again
soon. We'll do. See you guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
There goes Eric Johnson. Again, that's swing to 20357. Good luck. They get you a free week at, man, simulator's nice.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Tom, I turned on the baseball game. Hit some balls while I watch some baseball.
Hey, when it's 101 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Climate controlled in there, too. Yeah.
Makes it a little difficult. All right, we're going to come right back. We got more Sports Daily coming your way. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Summer Concert Series back at Navster Park this weekend, returning with Monterey Jack live on stage tonight. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Enjoy the free live music, food trucks, and Friday night fun all summer long. Full schedule at KFHradio.com. Thanks to Eric Johnson for stopping by there and giving us a little golf update from Memphis. We got all eyes on Sam Stevens tonight. All right, Tommy, let's real quick again, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up on a Friday. Always appreciate them. Gets early. We need the motivation. And to Crestview Country Club, that programming note, we will be out there. We're going to try to bring Grady over, get caught up in his offseason. See what other fun folks are going to be out there at the tournament. But Monday out at Crestview, we're going to be live from the Grady Dick Charity Golf event, and that should be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. I think the weather is going to be a little bit cooler on Monday, which is good. We'll have a hot weekend, and then I think we're looking at maybe highs in the upper 80s, mid-upper 80s. So that should be a little bit better than 101, 102. Yeah, so we'll do that. But I'm looking forward to being out there as well, and that's been a fun thing to partner with and get the word out about the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament and all the different things that they're doing to raise money for nonprofits and foundations and charities that are close to Grady's heart. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, you and I will be, after we get off the air, we're going to go out there and swing it a little bit. If it rains, let's say we get into a cart path only situation. All right, so we're in a scramble. It's cart path only situation. Is that a scenario where you would ever advocate for maybe playing with some practice balls?
Absolutely not.
If you're scrambling and it's like, you know what, I'm just going to let that one go. I'm just good. That ball's see you later. I don't really want to go chase that one. We'll just move on to the next.
Absolutely not. You're going to continue to try to have these different scenarios that you throw out at me to get me to approve of you using range balls. And every time I'm going to say no.
I'm trying to get you to slum it with the rest of us. Listen, I'm out on the courses and I see those range balls out in the trees. We're nowhere near the driving range. I know that that this isn't just a me thing, that others are following suit. And when you know you're toast on a hole, maybe you got one in the bag and you're just like, you know what, let's give that one a run just in case.
Now, there are times that I've got an entire pocket in my golf bag of just like junk balls. They're not range balls, but they're regular golf balls
they're
found.
They're just the same thing. They just don't have the extra lines.
They're not meant for the driving range. They're actual golf balls that people have used that I've picked up and I found. And if I, you know, want to hit a second shot, if the first one wasn't very good, and I'm like, you know what, I need to hit another one here. Like, I'll go grab a junk ball out of the bag and do that. But I'm not grabbing a range ball.
What's the difference between a junk ball and a range ball?
A junk ball is an actual golf ball for play that has been abandoned or lost that you find. A range ball is meant for the driving range.
It's designed for the driving range. It wasn't converted into a range ball.
No. In fact, there are a lot of range balls. I don't know if I can't speak for all of them, but there are range balls out there that are actual like distance controlled, where like they're different material and they're built differently than regular golf balls to not fly as far because maybe you have distance restrictions in the driving range,
right.
Like that sort of thing. So you may be playing with a ball that is like not actually meant to go and play on the course, and it's going to hurt your game.
They just took used balls and put some lines on them.
Nope.
Either way, it's going to be fun. It's a junk ball day, that one that maybe you don't want to chase if it's cart path only.
Totally fine.
We've got.
I will give you some of the junk balls that I have that are not range balls.
I have some junk balls. I wouldn't have any balls. I ever tell you why there are even range balls in my vicinity? I took my wife, who knows absolutely nothing about golf whatsoever. This was 2 or 3 years ago, and she's out. I was like, just come. You know, it's nice outside. It's pretty. We'll just drive around. And she had a good time. And I was walking out to a ball or something. I get back and she's like, I found all these balls. I'm like, what do you mean you found all these balls? She's like, I found all these balls. They were just sitting there. And I'm like, what is she? She had like a handful of range balls. I'm like, oh God. It's like, put those away. Like, we got to get out of here.
Hey, see, if that embarrassed you at the time, then like, you clearly know that those aren't the right golf balls to play.
Like, I don't drive around looking for them, but I was like, oh God. Like, she'd already like had them in the bag. I was like, geez, she's like, oh, put them in your bag. Like, we got to go. That's why I even have any in my bag to begin with. All right, Tommy, let's look at the NFL preseason slate tonight. The biggest headline for sure coming into tonight is Shedeur Sanders. This story has not got any less interesting. Shedeur is expected to get the start tonight against Carolina. And the range of outcomes here feels as open as it could possibly be. Like, Shedeur could really impress and move his way up. Shedeur, some people think, could not make the roster at some point. Like, has there ever been more pressure on a guy in the preseason than there is on Shedeur Sanders right now? Most of these guys that come in with his pedigree and everything else, like, they're not in any danger in the preseason games. He's legitimately playing for his role on this team.
Well, I think he's playing for his role on the team, but I also think that he is, you know, potentially playing for a future in the league. I mean, I know that whether or not it's with Cleveland or somewhere else, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that, you know, the majority of teams in the NFL don't think that he's a viable starting quarterback in the league. And so,
or don't think he's worth the risk
for sure. And so, if he can go out there and have a good preseason, Cleveland is such a dysfunctional organization and has been for so long that there's a good chance that, you know, they may go out and draft a quarterback again next year, multiple quarterbacks for that matter. And so he may be on the outside looking in even after this year. And so some of it is a little bit of an audition, I think, for other teams in the NFL that, hey, like Shador could potentially be a viable NFL quarterback. And so I do think that every time he gets reps out on the field, whether it's a preseason game or otherwise, he's got to put on a show and prove that he can actually be a quarterback in this league.
I agree. At least early on, he's just got to prove that all the other stuff isn't so much of a distraction that it's a distraction, like that it's worth dealing with all of that stuff. I think that's the thing. You know how I feel about him. I think as a football player on the field, he is good enough to play in the NFL. He's always reminded me as a college player of Baker Mayfield. I think his ability is good enough. Is it good enough to overcome the perceived issues of all the other stuff he seems to care about, which is what got him in trouble in the draft process, which is where we've seen funny videos of him asking Joe Flacco if he knows this dance and practice. And Flacco's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, like all of this other stuff, that's what he has to overcome now. And the easiest way for him to do that, Tommy, is to go out on the field and be good. It's the preseason. I really, though, like more on the line, because remember, this is a first round pedigree that fell so far for all the reasons that it did. And it wasn't like a consensus first round pedigree. I get that. But it was a 50-50 first round pedigree. Certainly wasn't. Where did he get drafted? In the fifth?
Certainly wasn't a fifth round pedigree,
whatever it was. So get out there and show everybody why, because at the end of the day, this is a league where it'll put up with a lot of crap. It will put up with his crap if he's good. It just wasn't convinced enough that he was good to put up with his crap. So now get out there and show him that you are worth it, because we see teams all the time deal with really terrible situations that make us scratch our head because guys are good at football. Go show you're good at football and he will find his way into a starting lineup.
All of the different reports going into the draft about how terrible his interviews were and the meetings with all the other teams and just the anonymous GMs and all these personnel that they were saying that it was the worst interview ever and like all that stuff, that can be erased. Like it's totally, you know, first impressions are really, really, really important. And so that's hard to get away from, but winning and performing at a high level can cure a lot of things. And if he can go out and actually show it on the field on this stage, whether or not it's a preseason game or not is irrelevant. He's getting an opportunity in an NFL game to show that his pedigree and that his talent, his skill set, athleticism, all these different things can outshine how poor of a first impression he made on a lot of teams. If he can show that that's actually legitimate and he can do that, then I think eventually over time, he can convince people that the other stuff doesn't matter, but he's got to do it on the field first. And he may have limited opportunities to actually show that he can do it. And so that it's not like a situation where, you know, he's an incumbent starter and he's got a lock on the starting role. He's in a battle right now as a rookie. And so he may not have unlimited opportunities to show his stuff.
He's in a battle with another rookie.
That puts the pressure on his shoulders when he's going to be handed the ball to go out and make the absolute most of it.
He's not going to be handed anything. And I think that, you know, if it all works out and we look back and Shador Sanders ends up as a starter in this league for any number of years, like this will all, I think, had to have made him better, right? Like he will have had to grow from all of this. It cost him money. There's no question about that. Doesn't have to cost him opportunity. At the end of the day, you're trying to beat out a fellow rookie. You're trying to beat out a very much older Joe Flacco and some guys that, you know, have proven outside of Flacco. Flacco's been a proven starter in this league, but outside of Flacco, everything else is unproven or proven to not be good enough, right? like the opportunity is still tremendous for him. And over the course of this preseason, there is not a player in football with more to gain than Shedeur Sanders. Not one, right? Dylan Gabriel's not going to get cut from the Browns. I don't think Shedeur Sanders would either, but I've heard a lot of people talking about it. Like it may be on the table, right? He's the fourth quarterback right now. Teams don't carry four quarterbacks. So what could happen? It's entirely possible. Nobody has more to gain than Shedeur Sanders. I don't know if we're going to see Bryce Young. They play the Panthers. Bryce Young is a guy who probably is getting no attention, and I get why, Tommy. But was there a more improved player in football last year than Bryce Young? I don't think there was.
Yeah, I don't know if there – I mean, I would certainly say I don't think there was a more improved quarterback. And maybe player in general. I mean, he was good. And there were doubts after year one for him. About whether or not he could make it in the league. And I think he showed that his style of play, he can overcome a lot of different things. And he showed it with the Panthers team that had, I mean, they had clear deficiencies and he sort of overcame that. They weren't a great team by any means, but he at least showed that he can get it done.
So they're really interesting to me. They are not a team that gets much love at all. Their odds to win the division are 4-1, which is about as high as a lot of teams. They don't have any clear-cut favorite. I think Carolina could be better. They took my favorite player in the draft, Teteroa McMillan. We saw the progress from Young. They can run the ball a little bit. I think people are moderately excited about the coaching staff that's in place there. They could be okay this year, don't you think? They could. There is a world where they compete for that division. I think they're better than the Saints. I think the Falcons have as many questions as they do. Could they be as good as Tampa? Chris Godwin's hurt. I mean, I think Carolina could sneak around a little bit this year.
I think they could too. I mean, that division, in my opinion, is relatively wide open. I mean,
it should be Tampa, but they've got some coaching changes.
It should be Tampa. I mean, I love Baker. I think his renaissance in his career has been really fun to watch in his time in Tampa. So it should be Tampa Bay. I'm not sold on Atlanta, and I'm not obviously sold on New Orleans. So, I mean, I think if there's any team that could be potentially a threat to Tampa Bay, I mean, I'd put Carolina in there.
Carolina's win totals at 6.5. The only teams lower are the really bad teams, like the teams expected to be really, really bad. So there's that. Man, I'm looking at these win totals. So there's been a jump in these since the last time we talked about this. You know what Buffalo sits at right now?
12 and a half. Wow.
Man. You're getting plus money, by the way, on the Chiefs at 11.5. That's interesting. I don't know. This is all changed for sure. The Chiefs have these injuries. There is no way I'm betting the Bills to win 13 games. Can they? Sure. But how can the Bills be that high? Let me find. We've talked about the Patriots. I think we didn't even talk about them yesterday. I felt like they were one of the more overvalued teams. So you've got the Bills that high. The other teams in that division, you've got the Dolphins at 7.5 still, at pretty close to even money. The Jets are only at like 4.5. That's a big part of it. And I cannot find the Patriots to save my life. Hang on just a second. Okay, there's the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots are still at 8.5, Tommy. Boy, if you think the Patriots are going to be any good, it's going to be hard for the Bills to win 13 games if those things play out and you've got both, the Dolphins and the Patriots between 7 and 9 wins. I don't know, man. That's too high. I don't remember seeing any teams at 12.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think Miami will be well under that number. I mean, I don't think Miami is going to be any good this year at all. I mean, maybe
they're going to be terrible on defense. We know that. If Tua's healthy, they're going to be good on offense, though.
Yeah, I think that they're going to take a step back for sure. I like the Patriots to take a little bit of a step forward, and then the Jets are probably going to be abysmal. So, you know, like that's, I do think that there's a path for Buffalo to get over 12 and a half wins, but it's certainly going to be way difficult for them. I'm not going to bet it.
Could the
I'm not going to bet
13
it at all.
And four? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not going to bet
like
it.
Like that's not the point. The Chiefs, even the Chiefs at 11 and a half, we've talked about this too. Like they've got so much room to be better, but still lose like four or five games in the regular season versus the, you know, essentially the one that they lost last year, because remember they had the throwaway game in the finale. These win totals get so hard at the highest level like that, because any injury, anything like that comes into play. 12 and a half for the Bills. My goodness. I don't think there's anything else that I'm particularly watching for tonight, Tommy, in the preseason. There's just that game, the Lions and Falcons, the Commanders and Patriots. Those other two, I doubt we're going to see much. I mean, all eyes are on Shedeur Sanders. He's got the platform's yours, young man. Tonight, the stage is yours. Everybody's going to be watching.
Good luck to
them. Chiefs play this weekend. They play Arizona. You'll have coverage beginning here at 6 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock kick. We do expect to see the starters. We expect to see them for, Andy Reid says, a quarter. I don't know that I believe a quarter's in the cards, but it'll at least be a possession, which is what it typically is. It might be a quarter if, you know, Arizona gets on like an 8-minute opening drive, Tommy. Then maybe it would be a quarter, I suppose. Tommy, we didn't talk about this yesterday. Barry Bonds broke the Major League Baseball all-time home run record on this day yesterday. Where do you stand with Bonds? I think that you think he should be in the Hall of Fame? I do. Where do you stand with him?
Well, I don't think you can have the all-time home run leader not in the Hall of Fame, regardless of the circumstances surrounding it. I'm okay with some kind of asterisk or whatever they need, but he needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I think the biggest issue with Bonds, even separate from the steroid allegation, was just that the writers don't like him because he's kind of a jerk, and he was kind of a jerk to them throughout his career. He didn't play nice with media. And so there are grudges that are held against him. And I think it's easy for the writers and the committee to say, oh, he used steroids, so we're not going to put it. Well, you just didn't like him. That's why you don't put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about every steroid situation. We just need to let people know in the game's history museum of what was going on during that time. But his peers in a lot of cases were too. That was my first year in television, not my first year working in the media. It was my first year in television was that summer. I was hired in May of that summer, and I was working like the morning shift. So I think I came in at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I had convinced them at the time, because I was just being a reporter, I convinced them to let me cut every day. I was like, I'll put it on my regular workload. I'll cut a sports segment every morning. Let me do that. And they did. And I followed along, you know, that Bonds home run chase. And man, those home run chases are some of the most entertaining things. We got one with Aaron Judge not long ago in a single season. I don't know if we're ever going to break this one, this Bonds record. And I don't know that even Hank Aaron's will ever be broken because of the longevity of those two guys. Like the likelihood of a player getting started as early as both of them did and playing for as long as they did at a high level, I just don't know that we're ever going to be able to see that topped, Tommy. It feels insurmountable.
It does to me too. I mean, even guys like Aaron Judge that have hit tons of home runs, he got started late and he could, you know, I think probably at least 500 home runs is in the cards for him, assuming he stays healthy, if not more. But man, you need to have somebody play 20 plus years at a high level to be able to do what Aaron and Bonds did. And that's nearly impossible to do in today's game and today's day and age.
The fewest seasons to sniff it was Sosa at 18. McGuire only did it in 16. He was kind of up there just outside the top 10 for him. You know, David Ortiz, who felt like he played forever, Tommy, is still 120 home runs short. He'd needed another, you know, 4 or 5 years probably to get there. For us right now, just looking up and down the list at who is even on the radar. Giancarlo Stanton has 439. He's played 16 seasons. He's 35 years old. He would need, let's say he can play another seven. He would still be 762 minus 439. He'd still need, if he played seven more years, Tommy, seven, right, until he's 42 years old, he'd need to average 46 home runs a year.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
I mean, that ain't happening. But that's how crazy that is.
Yeah.
Mike Trout, Mike Trout probably had a shot at one point, but his body gave up on him. He's Mike Trout still only 33. He's not old, but his body's given up on him, which is too bad because we could be having conversations about him potentially as like the best baseball player ever, but he won't get there. I mean, you got guys like Manny Machado, who's only 32 and played four, but he'd need another 10 years at, 40 home runs a year. Aaron Judge is, he's only played 10 years. Judge would be the interesting one. If Judge could basically replicate over the next 10 years what he's done for the first 10 years, he would still be short. He's hit 352. If he replicated what he's done thus far in his career, he would still be 50 or so short. So I think we can at least watch him based on the things he's done. Shohei is another interesting guy, but he's not going to get there either because of, he's already 30. So he'd need, he's probably less likely even than Judge because he hasn't been in the big leagues long enough. It's very unlikely. I mean, we're talking these guys are outside the top 200 right now. So that record is one that may stand forever. Those seasons were some of the craziest seasons. You just could not get that guy out. It was insane to watch what Barry Bonds did at that point. You sent me something during the break, Tommy. So Visit Wichita says Wichita is in the running for the best, is it event, the best sports event?
Host city
in 2025. So the major events that you'd point to would be, of course, the NCAA tournament, in which Wichita showed out in a way that I've never seen any host city ever show out. Unbelievable. You've had, of course, the aftershocks, which is nothing new, but always good to see. And I think you had the ice skating championships, which was by all accounts a great event. I don't know what to compare that one to, but I think Wichita would have a case here. What Wichita did for the NCAA tournament, for somebody who's been around the country seeing some of these sites, that's as good as it gets. To have for how many days did we have it? Four, five?
4 days.
To have thousands and thousands of people every day, so not always the best weather either, by the way, down there partying like they did and going to the games, it was unbelievable.
Remember us taking our show down there to Napster Park and how cold it was.
Yeah,
like we were wearing heavy coats
for letting us.
I know, heavy coats and gloves and stocking caps, and the wind was whipping. And it wasn't the best weather, but people showed out. Like they showed up and showed out for the NCAA tournament. And it's not just that. I mean, people in this city show up to things when there's buzz and excitement, especially when it's something on the national scale that's coming to Wichita. People get behind that like crazy, and some of the other cities that are up for this.
I think you got to put Wichita open in there.
I agree.
The way they overcame that.
I agree. I mean, you look at the other finalists, and I think Atlanta is on the list, and DC is on the list, I believe, Boise, Idaho, Vegas, and Wichita. And I mean, nothing against those other cities, but the thing about Wichita is people don't expect it. Like nationally, you don't expect to get this kind of response for sporting events when they come to the city, and we show up time in and time out.
Wichita likes to have a good time. It's one of the reasons I love Wichita. I have a lot in common with Wichita. I think I really mean that. It's like when we moved here more than a decade ago, we never knew we'd be here this long. We never knew we'd love it as much as we did. I feel like I have a lot in common with this city. Like to have a good time. You know what? If it's coming, we're going to show up and we're going to make it the best it's going to be. And I think it's that combined with a city that is much, much larger than people realize in the metro area without a pro team, you know, pulling attention away from some of this stuff. So I think you mix all that together, and that's why these events just consistently hit when they come, because it's like, oh, that might be a good time. Yeah, I'm going to go do that. Right. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, that's the thought process of most people in this city. Like, oh, yeah, it'll be fun. Let's get down there and do that.
How many people from March Madness didn't actually have tickets to the games themselves? I mean, so many of them.
80%?
But everybody's going down
to hold all those people.
Everybody's going down to party and have a great time. And yeah, March Madness is fun regardless. And people are taking off work and they're doing brackets and they're going and watching games at bars and things like that anyway, even if it's not in our city. But the fact that it was, I think I knew that it was going to be like that. I mean, because it had been so long, and the first time that March Madness came here, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, it was incredible and insane and all of that. I knew it would happen again. I mean, I think we all had an idea it would happen again.
And do you remember how crazy I drove you and how worried I was? Because the first time, a lot of that crowd was KU-centric,
yeah,
right? Selling out practice sessions. So that was the anxiety. Didn't matter.
Right?
It was even better than the first time.
That's why I kept trying to like talk you off that ledge. Like it doesn't.
You didn't know it was going to be like that.
I know, but Wichita. I know this city. I'm from here. I was born and raised here. This is my home. And it always has been. And Wichita shows up. And yeah, I mean, of course, like you would love to have a KU or a K-State in your region.
I mean, I was in Omaha the year before when KU didn't show up like it was expected. And it wasn't a ghost town, but it wasn't, it was fine. It wasn't anything crazy because KU wasn't there like everybody thought they would be.
Yeah.
It's always a risk. And again, I do think missing it because of the COVID year added on to it. But here's what we've learned from things like the TBT, the next time people won't want to miss that party. Like you don't want it now that it happened and it was what it was, won't matter now because everyone's like, you just kind of set your watch to it. That's why the Wichita Open has been such a unbelievable success on that tour. And why the golfers tell us time and time again, like there's nothing else like this because you don't want to miss the party.
I don't know if there's another city in this country that essentially shuts down for multiple sporting events a year. You know, like the Wichita Open in the summer, Thursday and Friday, there are not a lot of people working. At least in my world, the world that I am in every day, right?
Yeah, you got to like golf. You got to like, I mean, I get it.
But March Madness, when it comes here, like, and March Madness shuts down offices anyway, regardless, but especially here, like you were hard pressed to find businesses that were working on those days, and people were trying to find ways to get out of work, so they could go down there and experience all of it.
Paging Shockerman's basketball, all of this. Paging Shockerman's basketball. Let's go, and let that carry into Shocker women's basketball and volleyball, which should be pretty good. Wichita State's our pro team. I say it all the time. There's so many people here that just are looking for the fun thing. Anywho, you can go to visit Wichita. You can follow them on X.
Vote.
And they have
a way to
vote there.
Yeah, go and vote.
Yeah. You can go there and you can vote. All right, that'll do it. Fun Friday for you. We're ready. Every day we pass along is one day closer to football season. You've got Chiefs football tomorrow. It's a Saturday game. Pregame coverage begins at 6 o'clock. It'll be Chiefs Cardinals over on KNSS. You've got all the Royals action here on KFH for the Royals at Minnesota. Busy sports weekend. I'm ready for it.
It should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to being back here on Monday to recap it all.
We'll have Jalen Thompson in on Monday to help us through the Royals. We'll have plenty of reaction to whatever it is that we see out of the Chiefs' first preseason game. And again, getting closer and closer to college football season as well. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We will see you Monday.